As we prepare to look at God's word, I wonder if we could turn in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because in it we see Jesus more clearly. Please help me as I speak your word now to speak it faithfully. And please help us all as we reflect on your word, as you speak to us, that we would be changed by it. We would be determined to follow you more faithfully. Amen. I wonder what the most niche thing you like is. What is it? What's the thing where actually very few people you know also like that thing or follow it? For me, it's probably my taste in music, in particular rock music. I've had one member of the congregation who I played a piece of music to, which I liked, said to me, do you really like that? I wonder what it is for you. Well, in some ways, I think Christianity can feel a little bit niche to us. Obviously, it feels like fewer and fewer people would call themselves Christians, and far fewer would actually follow Jesus with all their heart. Very few people we know outside of our congregation will go to church, apart from perhaps at Christmas, but even that has shrunk. Being a Christian feels pretty niche. And as a result, we probably act a bit like it's niche. I've stopped really telling people about the songs I like because I know they're not going to like it. So what's the point? Why don't I just let them get on with listening to the music they like and I'll just listen to mine? Well, that's probably quite a wise thing when it comes to my music. But it's not a wise thing when it comes to Jesus. And we're going to see that today in our Bible reading. And we see that in this reading from Luke, with this wonderful character called Simeon. And we're told right at the beginning that he has been promised by the Lord that he would see the Lord's Messiah. There it is in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. He had a hope, he had a dream, did Simeon. He had a dream which actually many around him had probably lost hope in. And that dream was that Israel would be consoled and that God would fulfill his purposes out for Israel. And he'd been waiting around for a long time. Many people had lost hope. Israel's days seemed to have gone. The grand days of King David was so far in the past now, and ever since had followed a series of failures of God's people and then eventually judgment. And now God's people were living in an occupied land, powerless and pathetic. But Simeon hasn't given up hope. The Lord has seen his righteousness and his devotion, and he says, I promise you, Simeon, that you will see my Messiah. And then comes the moment on that first Christmas, just 8 days after Jesus is born, that Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple for Mary's purification. It was a requirement of the law. And Simeon would have been in the temple and watching loads of people arriving, coming and going in the temple. And I wonder whether he had any idea that today would be the day when he saw the Lord's Messiah. And to be honest, if we were there, we would feel that Mary, Joseph and Jesus were unlikely candidates for this. They would have looked like any other family, no special glow around them. In fact, they would have looked very much like any other poor family. We read that when they go to the temple, they go there to offer a sacrifice for Mary's purification. And it says there, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now this, in the Old Testament, there were rules for the purification sacrifice. And they were ratcheted up depending how wealthy you were. If you were very wealthy, it was a big offering. But the very lowest offering for the poorest of the poor was, well, the one we read here. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. So Simeon sees Mary and Joseph and Jesus, this poor family at the bottom of the economic tree. And suddenly he knows. Presumably the Holy Spirit just puts it on his heart and he sees Jesus and he realizes this is the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? At a really unpromising time for God's people, an unpromising figure is shown to Simeon as their Messiah. What a thought. Now let's look at what Simeon says. What will he say? He says, oh great, the Lord has sent his Messiah to his people. He will lead us out of trouble, maybe make us great again. Now that stretches belief. But actually Simeon goes beyond that. Let's look what he says. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Two great promises there. Salvation, the rescue from sin and death and alienation from God. The promise of peace, shalom, rest. At rest and not toil anymore. The great hope that God will come down and bring salvation has come with Jesus. What wonderful news. But not just that, also revelation. And we were thinking about this at the last carol service. That revelation, that idea that the guessing games about God are over. God has revealed himself and he has come to save. But we're not going to really reflect on that right now. I want to just look at two phrases. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. The Gentiles here is a term for anyone who's not a Jew. And Simeon is saying that this Messiah has come not just for God's people, but for those who aren't God's people. Not just for the Jews, but for the non-Jews. And this is dramatic. That God has sent his Messiah in such an unlikely form, a baby to this poor family, to come and rescue his people despite their desperate circumstance. Why? So that his message would go out to the nations, so that all might be saved. You see, Israel in its past had enjoyed being God's chosen people. Now, that doesn't feel like bringing them many benefits, but in the past, they took great pride in that. They delighted in being chosen by God, and understandably so. What a privilege. That's the same privilege for every Christian. But somewhere along the line, they had forgotten to remind themselves of what they've been chosen for. They weren't chosen by God so that they can enjoy all the blessings of peace with God and lead the rest of the world to burn. They had been chosen by God to save the Gentiles, to save the nations. And that's what Jesus came to do. And that's what Simeon saw. Simeon realized at this moment that this baby wasn't just a gift to a niche group of people and that the rest of the world would just carry on as they were. He realized that Jesus was a world changer. And that's what I want to leave us with today. This Christmas, to be reminded that Jesus is a world changer. It's very easy with the decline of the church in the West, as the church looks so weaker and more marginalised and more niche, to become discouraged. And it's quite easy for us to become a club. To think, you know, okay, you know, we'll worship God together and maybe we'll sort of try and invite a few friends along to join our club. But for most people, they're not going to be interested. We're just a little group in the corner. So we might be tempted to both withdraw and keep quiet. But the news of this Christmas is that the one we follow, the one we believe in, the one who was born as this baby in Bethlehem, came to die for the world and to rise again to bring new life to all those who turn to him from every nation. So this Christmas, we should have confidence. Yes, I know, Christmas in some ways just makes us feel more niche. In some ways, it seems like the fact that so few people talk about Jesus at Christmas time shows how marginalised we are. That if at the one time when that everyone knows the celebration about Jesus, most people are still not worshipping him, it can feel really discouraging. But no, we shouldn't feel discouraged. Everyone we go to, everyone we can see, we can say, do you know what? Jesus is the revelation to you. Jesus is the salvation for you. Why don't we do that this new year? And at the end of this year, as we meet people, family, friends, total strangers, maybe the delivery person at the door, as they come to the door, just in your mind thinking, Jesus is the revelation to you. Jesus is the salvation for you. When you're watching TV and you see somebody appear, maybe on the news or whatever, why not in your mind say, Jesus is the revelation for you. Jesus is the salvation for you. My Jesus is King over all nations. My Jesus is not just for the people in the pews in churches. He is for everyone. And everyone needs it. That's the glory of our Saviour. Let's pray. Jesus, please open our eyes to see that you are not a niche Saviour. You are not a niche King. That you are King of all the world. Give us the eyes of Simeon. May we see you clearly. And may we see the need of those we meet as clearly as you. Amen.